Greetings. You are listening to WKOK Sunrise. I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Center is our fabulous producer. We thank Ali Stevens and Chad Hirschberger for filling in while I get to enjoy a day off. Dr. Ratul Dalal was on the news line last week. He's medical director for infectious diseases at UPMC Williamsport. First question we asked him is, we now have three diseases that are very prevalent in
Yes, absolutely. So let's starting with flu, actually. Like, you know, the number of positive flu tests and hospitalizations in the U.S. is the highest in more than a decade, if you would believe that, indicating that, you know, this season is going to be one of the most severe ones. Now, according to data from CDC, there have been at least 880,000 cases of flu-like illness already during this season, which is very, very early. Now, in 2008 and 2009, actually, no, sorry, in 2009 and 2010, we had the swine flu outbreak. That was the highest we had seen. But then after that, there was a lull, especially this early in the season. And 2022-23, we are already having 10,000 positive tests happening so far every week. So it's probably getting pretty high quickly. In a normal flu season, we are not recommending to test everyone with flu symptoms. Now, we are in a situation that everyone who has got any symptoms of any kind is supposed to get tested, not only for COVID, but also for flu or other respiratory viral illnesses. Unfortunately, what's happening is there is something called an immunity gap. So when you talk about even RSV, flu, or any other respiratory viruses, for the last 2.5-3 years, people were at home, working from home, people were socially distancing, masking, and obviously they were very careful with hand washing and social hygiene, all that stuff. But then our immunity went down because we were not exposed to these viruses, because every now and then we keep getting exposed to it, and then our body fights it. And since we were masking, we were all indoors, we lost that immunity. We lost that habit of training or, again, schooling our immune system to fight these viruses. And now, since the social mitigation efforts are down, masks are down, people are mingling with each other, of course, because of COVID fatigue, now these viruses are coming roaring back. Moving to RSV, RSV, unfortunately, affects the young under the age of 2, especially who are newborns or like who are infants, less than age 1, and also the elderly, and of course the immunosuppressed individuals. So the two extremes of ages. Now, usually RSV is there every year, but it peaks in February. It peaks when winter is at its peak. Here we are seeing 80% of all the pediatric hospital beds available in the country are occupied by kids who have had RSV. And that's alarming as well because, again, same stuff, like the immunity gap theory is coming up into the fore. That's the reason why we are seeing that. Now, RSV usually does not have any particular kind of treatment given, especially if you are a kid or if you're a newborn, unless, you have really, really bad specific symptoms of really deranged immune system, there are certain monoclonal antibodies which can be given. But there's no vaccine yet, but hopefully in the next year or two, scientists are working on getting a vaccine for RSV. But until then, it's only supportive care. And unfortunately, because of the immunity gap and because COVID was the ruler of all the respiratory viruses for the last 2.5 years, these viruses took a back hit. And now they're coming back with full force as COVID numbers are going down. But again, they're starting to come up as we get into the colder months. I do anticipate a COVID surge, but it's not going to be as bad as the last 2 years. But it's still going to happen because, COVID, as you know, continues to evolve. We're still having Omicron, and then Omicron subvariants also are coming up. So that's what is driving all of these viruses go up.
Under what circumstances should you take a COVID test? So for, I guess we'll ask about a home COVID test or go to the doctor and get a COVID test. So many of these symptoms are very similar. The overlap is extensive.
Yes, absolutely. So they are getting more and more, like, you know, overlap between these things. And initially there was the allergy season, which is probably slowly abating down. But yes, as you said correctly, I think if you have any respiratory illness, like, you know, any cough, sore throat, or headache, or body ache, get yourself tested immediately. And, like, you know, you can do that as a home-based antigen test. But again, there is a possibility of false negatives. So what I would suggest is, if symptoms continue, do two separate antigen tests on two separate days from each other. And if possible, use two different products, like two different companies if you can, or at least test two samples 24 to 48 hours apart from each other. If they are negative, if you continue to have symptoms, then there's a time to go in to the doctor's office to get your PCR test done, because there could be something else coming up, or maybe the antigen is not picking up, or you could be having some other respiratory virus. Now, a comprehensive respiratory viral PCR, which looks for around 16 to 18 different viruses, will look for flu, will look for RSV, will also look for other adenoviruses or rhinoviruses. Typically, muscle ache and fatigue is more pronounced in flu. Respiratory symptoms, like upper respiratory symptoms, such as a runny nose, cough, and sneezing, is more with RSV. With COVID, it's more like sore throat, lower respiratory symptoms, such as, like, you know, extreme fatigue as well as shortness of breath, and you're feeling really, really down. But as we are going with the Omicron subvariants, we are seeing more upper respiratory tract symptoms, such as sore throat, tiredness, and difficulty smelling. These three are the most cardinal symptoms right now we are seeing for COVID. So if it's muscle pain or fatigue, most likely it's going to be the flu. But again, nobody can be sure until you're tested for. And at least flu has got a medication which you can use to treat yourself. COVID also has the medication available, which is called the Paxlovid, which is also very very helpful to get this thing cured. But RSV, of course, you don't have a medication for that. But again, if you have alarming symptoms, like, you know, especially in a kid, like nasal flaring, breathing rapidly, especially your abdomen is sinking in when you're taking a deep breath, your lips or your fingernail beds are turning blue, and a persistent cough, it's time to rush to the hospital.
Okay, so we'll keep that in mind. Now, you mentioned two types of tests. That might be something folks would have at their house these days, because the tests were readily available and potentially still are. So you
yes.
could have two different tests. So you recommend that, two different tests over a 24-hour period. It sounds like symptoms would be comparable to a stomach flu, too, which wouldn't test positive on that. So that might be something else for folks to keep in mind. So do your home test. That's going to be sound advice, it sounds like. One of the remarks that I've heard lately about these three diseases, the flu and RSV and COVID-19, is that we are experiencing a spring back in these. You alluded to that a little bit in your first answer about these three. Elaborate on this idea that they're coming back with a stronger resurgence.
Yeah, they are. They are coming back with a stronger resurgence because, like, you know, these viruses want to thrive and stay in this system for a long period of time, which apparently was lost because people were doing their due diligence. And now masking will prevent you from getting most of the respiratory viruses, because all three of them are spread through droplets, just like COVID did. And when people were masking, apparently, obviously, you're protected not only from COVID, but again, these three ones as well. Now, when that happens, like, you know, the viruses try to find different ways of trying to still thrive and still get their victims. They couldn't for a long period of time, so right now they changed their mechanism of action on the cellular machinery to attack the human cells. So they are coming back with a renewed vengeance. They are armed up. There are different tools in their machinery, which probably the human body was used to seeing these viruses and fighting them, but now they have probably changed, some of them might have changed their molecular structure. And second of all, we were not used to fighting them, and so the body routinely forgets how to fight it. Because, see, as I said, RSV doesn't have a vaccine. So the only way the body gets trained is by getting exposed to this virus. The flu changes every year. There's something called an antigenic drift, an antigenic shift, so, like, they keep changing once every year. And sometimes the vaccine is a good match, sometimes it's not, and that's the reason why it's very important to get updated yearly shots. And with COVID, my goodness, COVID is changing itself very rapidly now, because as the world is opening up, for the last 3 years everything was shut down, so now it is in dire straits. So that's the reason why we are seeing, like, you know, they're changing their machineries and, like, you know, coming up with more transmissibility potential rather than killing potential, although it can be fatal when it hits an immunosuppressed host. So that's the reason why we are seeing all of this happening so quickly, and a triple attack going on, because last time it was called twindemic. This year is going to be triple endemic.
You are halfway through our interview with Dr. Ratul Dalal, Medical Director for Infectious Diseases at UPMC Williamsport. We'll be back with part two at 7:40. Thank you so much for listening to WKOK Sunrise. We're halfway through our interview with Dr. Ratul Dalal, Medical Director for Infectious Diseases at UPMC Williamsport. Now, we hear that the latest version of the latest variant of COVID-19 is a little bit more virulent and is not widely present locally. Did I pick that up accurately from national news?
Absolutely. And, like, you know, from the last week's data, we were at around 14% to 15% of that particular subvariant percolating. And it has not yet reached that stage where it is going to beat the original, not the original, the one which we had, the BA4, BA5 subvariant of Omicron. But at the same time, like, you know, it definitely has a chance. It is evading immunity. It has also propensity to evade our monoclonal antibodies which we are giving, and it has got also increased transmissibility potential. The latest country which is already ravaged by a war is Ukraine. And Ukraine, they found this particular subvariant which is going rapidly around, because obviously the social structure, the health structure, everything has broken down in Ukraine, and so it's helping it propagate itself. And then very soon we have a situation in which we got refugees, we have people who can then spread it to the rest of Europe and then come into the US, like, you know, just as if this particular virus, like, you know, loves mayhem. And if already mankind is in trouble, it will pounce on the weak, the vulnerable, and that's how they evolve and gain strength from a vulnerable population, then it can propagate into even the relatively healthier population.
Well, we have political mayhem in the U.S. Does that contribute to all this hot air and all these words going back and forth?
I think so, because, like, for example, like, you know, if you're in a heated debate, even with your family member or your neighbor, because, like, you know, people are so polarized these years, these few months, like, and actually I should say, and now we are heating up to a crescendo, because next Monday, coming Monday, is the midterm. So that's when, like, you know, I think people lose their bearings about, like, you know, well, what about social mitigation? Like, you're scowling, you're shouting in a closed environment, windows and doors are closed as the temperatures are down. And yes, that is a perfect recipe for disaster. And then to prove a point based on your political affiliation, people also try to, like, you know, just rubbish these efforts or these medical advice, if you may, and then put everybody else in jeopardy, especially when you're in an indoor crowded place. I know social mitigation efforts have been relaxed, but again, like, you know, again, if you're going into an indoor setting with, like, you know, a crowded bar, for example, or a crowded place where there are, like, heated debates going on, one has to be careful and do the right thing. So yes, any kind of overcrowding or, like, you know, people trying to prove a point, anarchy, viruses love that.
Are you getting a sense how widespread these diseases will get this winter?
I would say, like, you know, they are definitely going to be bad, because, see, when we were in the summer months, deaths were still happening due to COVID. They were around 400 deaths a week. We had reached almost 2,700, 2,800 deaths a week when we were at the height of the pandemic. If the current IHME model is to be believed, which looks at the health metrics, we might reach even 1,200 to 1,500 deaths per week at the height of winter with COVID. So So it will be at least 3 or 4 times of what we're experiencing right now. So, but that's still almost only around 50% of where we were, 2 years ago in the past 2 winters. So that's going to ramp up. Flu has really started a very early surge. We usually do not see flu go up until December. December, January, February are the highest months. And we have already crossed our 30% or 30 to 40% threshold of the seasonal flu cases we see during the entire year. And this is only the beginning of November. So you can imagine, we've got still December, January, February, March, and even April. Technically, until April 15th, flu season still is on. So I am thinking, maybe flu might be worse than even COVID this year. And RSV, as I said, it peaks in February and starts ebbing down towards end of March. We already started seeing that in end of September. October was the worst month so far for RSV, and we still have the rest of November to go on. So I think all three of them are going to be bad, especially flu and RSV are going to come back with a vengeance.
Now is the time to do our prevention activities. What is the sound advice that you always talk about to avoid picking up any of these ailments?
Well, the biggest thing and the best thing you can do is, of course, get your updated COVID bivalent vaccine. At least it takes 4 weeks for it to reach complete protection, your body. But at least by the 14-day mark, by the 2-week mark, you have some 60 to 70% protection. And I would say the time is now. Thanksgiving is right upon us. In the next 3 weeks, three and a half weeks, we'll be on Thanksgiving. And usually, COVID cases have risen after Thanksgiving. So I think now is the time to roll up your sleeves and get that COVID shot. In addition to that, you need to have also the updated flu shot. The research which is going on right now is saying that we probably have a good match because winter in the southern hemisphere, like in Australia and New Zealand, just went by, and now they are in their early spring. So we tweak our vaccines based on the strains seen in the southern part of the globe. And so it does look like it's going to be a perfect match, not a reasonable good match, I should say. So I think it's the time right now to even get your flu shot up. And good news is you can get your flu and your COVID shot at once together as well without any untoward side effects. Of course, the regular side effects of the flu vaccine or the COVID vaccine, like localized pain, fatigue, muscle aches, sore throat, etc. For RSV, unfortunately, there is no treatment or there's no prevention right now except for our age-old hand washing, social distancing, masking. Obviously, masking and hand washing will go a long way, especially with RSV. If your kid is sick, do not let them mingle with any of your other kids, which is difficult sometimes, obviously, or with other kids as well. If they play with toys, make sure after they use them, wash them with soap and water if you can. Try to inculcate hand hygiene in them as well. Before play, after play, before eating, after using the bathroom, make sure as a parent you keep notice of your kids, if they're doing hand washing properly. And avoid contact sports with the small kids, especially if they are sick or they have the runny nose or just regular sniffles. And be on the lookout. Try some home remedies. The biggest thing is, I say, I don't have a nebulizer. What do? Go into the bathroom, shut the door, get the shower running, make sure the fumes are coming in, let your kid breathe them. That will make them feel better. But if not, if they're not getting better with these home-based stuff, remedies, as I said earlier, stomach flailing, blue lips, difficulty breathing, blue nail beds, rush to the hospital, because RSV can definitely kill, especially if you have a toddler or an infant. So vaccines, hand washing, masking, social mitigation efforts, as well as looking out for dangerous symptoms and signs, will go a long way in keeping you and your family safe.
Well, that's the same shtick you told us back in March of 2020.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I sound like a broken record, but I think, unfortunately, that's the way to go. But hopefully, we are reaching the endemic phase of COVID, which means that, maybe it might just become seasonal, and people will just have to have maybe a yearly booster as compared to right now when people have to take every 4 months, 6 months, and so on and so forth. And if that happens, hopefully, I would think the COVID booster acceptance rate also would increase if it's just a yearly shot.
Well, we thank Tyler Wagner for making sure that we get connected up with you. Dr. Ratul Dalal, Medical Director for Infectious Diseases at UPMC Williamsport. Anything else to add to our conversation? Anything you'd like to say? Maybe I didn't ask you.
Just be safe. And like, you know, with the holidays coming up, again, don't forget the increased ventilation. Now, we are blessed with some good weather, especially this week. But whenever you get a chance, whenever there are like a lot of people around, like, you know, try to crack open a window, use some localized, like, you know, small little hand fans, and try to make sure that, you know, you get your due diligence with your shots and get the updated shots. Forget it, if you did not get your earlier booster, go ahead and get this latest COVID booster. We are almost there. We're getting there, slowly, inch by inch. And then make sure that, you know, if you are sick, if anybody is sick around your household, try to contain yourself, get yourself tested, and try to avoid mingling with others, especially in parties, and like enjoy virtually if ever in doubt.